You'll take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Scripture tells us that we're to meditate on the Word of God, amen? Bible tells us we're to meditate on the Word of God, amen? And what that means is to read it, and to think about it, and to let the Spirit of God teach you and strengthen you through it, or challenge you through it. And Luke chapter 22 is one of those portions of Scripture that, boy, there's just so much in it for us. And this morning, we're going to begin reading it, verse number 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And then if we could look down at verse number 14. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your precious word. And Lord, thank you that you've given us your word that we might learn of thee, that we might know of thee, the true God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we even this morning learn more about thee. And so, Lord, teach us. By thy Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I wonder how many of us, well, I know this, every one of us as adults has gotten annoyed at some point in our life. No? No? Okay. Well, let me just refresh your memory then. As parents, as a parent, you're in the middle of something, a lot of pressure. Maybe it's time pressure. Maybe it's a pressure of doing something. Maybe it's just a stress of doing something at home. And so you're really focused and you're just under a lot of pressure and it's really intense. And then your two little kids come running up. Daddy, Charlie took my toy or Sally took this, and right? Never happened to anybody? Of course it did, didn't it, right?
Today.
Sammy. No. Anyways, but it happens, doesn't it? And immediately, your flesh just, oh, really? I'm in the middle of this really intense moment. Maybe you're on the phone, and maybe you're talking with someone or something, and this is that important. You're just, you know, someone grabbed your blanket or your binky or your doll or someone says, you know, someone said, and it just. Annoying, isn't it? Right? Well, I want you to stop. We're going to look at Luke chapter 22. We just read the circumstances that are taking place. Jesus Christ has sat down with his disciples. One of the most intense times in his life here on earth. He says, I have, with great desire, to sit with you and eat this Passover before I suffer. And then what does he begin speaking about? Then he says, and behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on this table. And then he speaks and he says, there's one right in our midst. One that was my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. And he's about to lift up his hand against me. And lift up his heel against me. He's about to betray me. And then, to top it off, and he says, and Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me. This very night, you're going to deny me. And then I'm going to be betrayed, and then I'm going to be arrested, and then I'm going to be taken off and crucified. Probably no intense moment have we ever faced in our life than what the Lord was facing right at this time in his life. He said, I've desired to eat this Passover here before I suffer. Got a man here on one side who's going to betray me. I've got Peter, my beloved disciple, on the other side. He's going to deny me. And all this is going on. And I want you to look at verse number 24. This is what we're going to look at this morning. And right in the middle of all of that, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted as the greatest? In the middle of all that, he's about to suffer. He's got Judas betraying him. He's got Peter denying him. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, he's got the rest of his disciples squabbling like little kids over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. You know, John chapter 13 says this, and this is what we're going to see this morning. John chapter 13 says in verse number 1, if you want to turn there for a moment, in fact, turn there for a moment. John chapter 13. This is why this portion that we're going to look at this morning should be such an encouragement and such a comfort and such a blessing. Because you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is so different than you and me. And we ought to be really thankful this morning for that. Because in John chapter 13, it says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And that's what we're going to see this morning as we study this passage of Scripture. We're going to see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, in those circumstances, if it were you and I, and we had this situation on this hand and this situation on this hand, and all of a sudden we've got these disciples squabbling in front of us, our response would probably, really? Really? You're going to bother me with this right now? You're really? This is what's important right now. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ responded so differently. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ responded just as he had said to them back in Luke chapter 18. Turn back to Luke chapter 18. Very interesting. Very interesting because he is going to demonstrate with his life to this group of disciples what he had already brought to their attention in Luke chapter 18. You see, in Luke chapter 18, the situation had presented itself to the disciples, and they responded so differently than the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's amazing. It's incredible. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he spake this parable unto the certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, as extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know what's interesting? Is that the disciples, the verse before, when it speaks about the strife that they had about who was the greatest, the verse before, they're saying, well, who is it? Who's going to betray you? And you know, in their minds, as the Lord said, it's he that has his hand with me, and points out that it's going to be Judas. You can see their minds, that's not me. And immediately they turn and start thinking about, well, who's the greatest? But when you go back to Luke chapter 18, here's what's interesting. Right after that, look at Luke chapter 18 and verse number 16. Or verse 15, excuse me. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Right after this parable, some folks come up with their little children. And they want the Lord to bless their little kids. They want the Lord to just be gracious and tender and bless their children. And look at the response of the disciples. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. You know, basically, when the disciples saw it, they said, hey, listen, folks. There's no time for this right now. We got more important things. He's got a bigger agenda than that. There's something more serious here than that. But look at what the Lord said. Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Now go back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, where John is describing the love of Christ, in John chapter 13, verse 31, therefore when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Now look at how he thinks and addresses these disciples that are quarreling amongst themselves about who's going to be the greatest. He says, little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye love one to another. But how does he refer to them? As little children. You know what I'm so thankful of this morning, when you look at this passage of Scripture? That the Lord Jesus Christ has Judas on this side, Peter on this side, and he's got this group of disciples that are acting like little babies, like little children. And yet, instead of rebuking them sharply, he loves them as little children and takes time to care for them and their seeming insignificant problem in their character of their life at that moment. Unlike probably the majority of us would do with someone that annoys us in the middle of our stressful life, amen? And that shows you, first of all, how gentle and loving and patient the Lord Jesus Christ is with me and you, right? And that's the first thing that is just, you know, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 29. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says this, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and gentle in heart. He says, I'm meek and gentle in heart. And you know, there's so many times in our lives as Christians, as children, little children of God, and oh, we think, we're little children. And many times the Lord responds to us as little children, not with being annoyed, not with being frustrated, not with being impatient, not with dismissing us, but lovingly caring for us, knowing our life, and knowing who we are, and knowing the frailties, and knowing our weaknesses, knowing everything about us. And this is what he does in Luke chapter 22. And so when you go back to Luke chapter 22, I want you to notice how he responds. How he responds. First of all, we could just spend all morning just, boy, we just need to be thankful. Amen? We need to be thankful that Lord Jesus Christ does not respond to us in any other way than the perfection of the Son of God. Amen? And he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. But then in verse 25 down to verse number 30, we see the way that he responds. The way that he responds. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's so much here. First of all, the way that he responds. There was a strife among them. There was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? All right, that's their quabble. That's their discussion, their squabble. We're going to say squabble because they're just like little kids squabbling over who should be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And you just got to stand there in awe. Really? Really? This is what it's all about. And many times the Lord could look at our lives and say, really? For real? And you know what he first does? He first takes time to educate them, to teach them. He says, they need to understand. That's what the Lord seeks to do with us. He wants us to understand. He wants it to teach us so that we understand and realize where we are. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. Right? For doctrine, then for reproof, then for correction, then for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But it's his doctrine, that's instruction. And sometimes the Lord has to stop us. Sometimes he has to rebuke us so that he can begin to instruct us again. But his purpose is that we would learn. And his purpose is that we understand. And the Lord knew in this moment, they needed to learn. They needed to understand something. They need to get something in their hearts, in their lives that would affect them for the future. And so he begins to teach them. And you know, there's a lesson here. Because look what he says. The lesson is in verse 25 and verse 26. He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. And he stops and he takes a moment and he says, wait a minute, little children, let me explain something to you. Let me teach you something. That's the way the world thinks. That's not the way of a disciple, a child of God. You know, there's many times where the Lord has to just lovingly, patiently, in gentleness and meekness, teach us, stop, hold on for a minute. That's not Christ-like. That's not biblical. That's not of God. That's of the world. And a lot of times it's in areas that we would say, it's not a big deal. Because in comparison, this little squabble, in comparison to Judas or in comparison to Simon, we're just having a little discussion. We're just having a little disagreement. We're just having a little argument about you know, who's going to be the greatest. The Lord says, let's just make it clear. That's not of me. That's the world. He says the Gentiles exercise lordship. The Gentiles exercise lordship. Verse 26, but ye shall not be so. That's not the way of life that you should be living. That's not the way that you should be thinking. And there's a lot of times in our life, folks, where there's things that might seem insignificant, and yet the Lord is trying to get our attention to say, wait a minute. It's simply not of me, it's of the world. And if it's of the world, it shouldn't be for me, amen? But he says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. And he says, you know, first of all, he says, that's the way the world thinks. That's what you see in the Gentiles. That's what you see in the rulers. And he says, they exercise lordship and they call themselves benefactors. Now, in the context he's speaking about what they were arguing about, who should be the greatest. And he says, you need to look around. He says, this is the way the world thinks, that because of who they are and how great they are and the authority they have and everything, that they should be on a position where everybody esteems them great and treats them like royalty and just bends over backwards to meet their need, do everything for them. You know, sounds like the politicians of the United States, doesn't it? Right? Who are the politicians supposed to be, or what are the politicians supposed to be doing? Serving who? Us. And what do we see? Not only in politics, but a lot of places. But he says that's the world's mentality. The world's mentality is that I am in this position, and I have, because I'm in this position, you've been blessed and benefited by it, and therefore you should benefit me. He says, that's not and should not be the attitude of a child of God. He says, the attitude of a child of God should be direct opposite. Directly opposite. Because look what he says in verse 26. But ye shall not be so. And then he says something in verse 26. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Will you stop and think about that phrase? All right? Everybody that's over 60, pay attention. Because that phrase, greater, is speaking about those by reason of their age have gotten to a certain point. Because, you know, a lot of times, as we grow older, we think we have this, well, I've done my part. I've served the Lord for 30, 40 years, and now it's time for the younger generation to step up. That's what the Lord said. Now, I agree, the younger generation should be stepping up and doing their part. But not to the point where the older generation is saying, I can sit back and just wait for Jesus to come. Amen. Right. That's not what the Lord is saying. He says this, he that is greatest among you shall be as the younger. You know what the younger generation should be seeing in the older generation? Is a greater desire to do more than ever the longer we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they should be seeing. Now, granted, are we able to do everything physically that we used to do? No. Are we able to get out there and split the wood and stack the woodshed? No. Obviously not, right? Except for John Gadboy Sr. But our desire and our eagerness and our love and our zeal should not diminish one bit. It says we should be like, look what it says, let him be as the younger. We should have the zeal and the desire and the longing and the urgency, the love to do more, even as a young person would. As someone that's just getting excited about being able to do it for the first time. To, you know how it is, go out there to woodpile and you get these young kids, oh wow, we get to split wood. And they're all excited about it, right? 20 years later, what are we doing this for? But you remember the first time you split wood, or first time you picked up a chainsaw, first time you get to start it, first time you get to cut a log, first time that you get to stack wood. What an exciting time it is, right? Right, Gavin? Yeah. He says, that's how it should be. But then he says this, also he says something else. And he that is chief is he that does serve. In other words, he that is at the top should be the one that's willing to serve the most and does serve the most and is seen in his service. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You see, it all comes down to this that Paul writes about. Romans chapter 12, because this is what was happening in their lives. They were thinking of themselves a lot more than they should have been, right? Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, they may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so Paul writes and he says, listen, don't be conformed to this world. Don't fall into the trap of this world. He says, but let your mind be transformed. Let it be changed. Let it be changed. And that's what the Lord is telling them. He's saying, this is the way the Gentiles think. But ye shall not be so. But then you look at verse number 3, because what's the first thing that Paul writes about in verse number 3 of Romans chapter 12? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the first thing that Paul mentions when he speaks about not being conformed, but instead being transformed, first thing he mentions is this matter of self, this matter of pride, this matter of self. And he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. He says, think soberly, seriously, according to the measure of grace that God has given to you. For no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how much you've done, no matter to what degree you've served the Lord, no matter how long you've been faithful, it all goes back to this. If it were not for the grace of God, if it were not for the grace of God that brought about your salvation, you'd be lost, still lost. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, you need to learn something. Little children, there needs to be a lesson here. There needs to be a lesson here. That's the way the Gentiles think. This is the way you ought to think. That's the way they live. This is the way we ought to live. Not to think of ourselves more highly, but to think of ourselves humbly in the sight of the grace and the mercy of God that has saved us and redeemed us by His precious blood, that we're His children. We're His children. And when we have done the most that we can do, He says, we're still unprofitable servants. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so He begins to teach them. He educates them. But then He gives them an example. And you know, this could be a lesson on teaching our young people too, because when you educate them, they're going to look to see the example, aren't they, right? You teach your young person something, you tell your young person something, and they're going to be watching. They're going to be watching. Who are they going to be watching? Come on, parents, who are they going to be watching? Oh, not the neighbors? They're going to be watching mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. Right? And boy, they're going to be watching close. And let me say something. They should watch close, and they should see the example of your life. Every young person in this church ought to be able to look at older folks, parents, grandparents, and others, and see the example of the Word of God and the example of Christ in our lives. They ought to be able to see it. They ought to be able to see it. Boy, I tell you what, that makes you think seriously, doesn't it? That challenges your life about a lot of things, doesn't it? You know it, parents, you know it. You're driving down the road and your kids are just learning to read. What a wonderful moment it is until they all of a sudden figure out they can read the speed limit signs. Ever had that time? Ever had that time where they're buckled in the back because you buckle up because the law says buckle up in them, you know, and they're all buckled up in the back and you're driving down the road and, Grampy, how come, what, the sign says 65, Grampy. How come that red arrow on your thing says, no. How come that arrow says 85? And we can try and justify, well, I did this with Angie one time. She's in Florida, so I can share the story. She was a senior in high school. We're coming down the highway, and Dad, if I'm late one more time, I get a detention. Well, we'll make sure you're not late. Come around the on-ramp to 395, there, Uncasville on-ramp coming on, that curve. I'm doing about 80 by the time I hit that ramp. I'll get you there on time. Don't worry about it. Woo, 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 woo. You know, right? No, she didn't. I got a ticket. But anyways, look at the example. Look at what the Lord says in verse number 27, because He says, not only does He educate them, but then He gives them the example. And boy, did He give them an example in John 13, didn't He? Because what was He doing? After that supper, He laid aside His garments, He picked up a towel, He girded Himself, and He began to wash the disciples' feet. And here's an example. He says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? He says, that's what everybody thinks, that the one that is greatest ought to be the one sitting at the head of the table, ought to be the one that's what the world says. That's where they ought to sit. They ought to be recognized. He says, but I am among you as he that serveth. He says, look at the example of my life. And stop and think about it. The reality of who we're speaking about. The very Son of God. The very creator of the universe. God manifest in the flesh. The Lord. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And he says, here's my example to you. Philippians chapter 2. But let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he would tell his servants, he would tell his disciples, by love, in the book of Galatians, by love, serve one another. And he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one for another. And he says, here's the example. Here's the example. And so first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ educates them. Second of all, the Lord Jesus Christ gives them an example. But then here's where you see the gentle, kind, loving nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because then you know what he does? He encourages them. He encourages them. Look at verse number 28. Look at this next statement that the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. He's got Judas over here. He's got Peter over here. He's got the disciples squabbling about who's the greatest. And he tells them, this isn't the way you shouldn't. No, that's the way the world thinks. Your mind should be transformed. You should be thinking this way. You should be serving. Here's the example that I set before you. And you know, at that point, he could have stopped the conversation and said, class over. Take this lesson home and learn it. But you know what he did before he finished the class? He took time to encourage him. Because you know what? A lot of times, we would go through a class like this where the Lord has revealed something to us, right? When the Lord reveals something to us, it's easy to just become very discouraged, right? Man, I messed up again. Well, I know it never happens to you. I understand that. But in my life, how many times, man, messed up again. Here I am again. Whatever change. And the Lord takes time to encourage these squabbling little children with some tender words of encouragement. Because look what he says. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And all of a sudden he turns and points out something wonderful in their life. By the grace of God and the working of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, you know, I was going to say he said you guys. No, he didn't say that. Maybe there's a Greek word for it. But he turns to him, he says, you know, you 11 right here, you've continued with me in my temptations. Wow, what a word of encouragement. This is the Lord Jesus Christ basically saying to them that are in their fellowship with him, in their discipleship, in their following him, basically saying, you know what? You've been a blessing to me. You ever stop and think? He says, you have continued with me in my temptations. Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about, you know, what he's going to suffer, but now he's referring back to everything he's gone through and what he's gone through and all the trials and the temptations and the times where Satan has tempted him either to sin or to just get him off the path and get him distracted and keep him from going to the cross. And he says, and you've been with me. You've been with me in my temptations. He's saying to him, he's saying, it's been a blessing. Now, understand this. We know he's the Son of God, and we know it was anything that they did was by his grace. But he's encouraging in their lives, in what he sees in their lives. And you know, the midst of our lives, listen, folks, Pastor Donnie preached that verse for the last length of time, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a lot of work still needs to be left to be done, right? Right? And we're in the middle of that. Just like he gave that message, what a wonderful message it was about the men that Jesus healed their sight, but not all at once. Remember that message? Remember that message about the Lord put his hand upon them and they began to see, but their sight wasn't clear. Not like the times before when the Lord had healed them immediately. The point of that message was that, you know, the Lord is working in our lives and working and continues to work in our lives. But the Lord is encouraging, unless they got so discouraged at this moment. And he's encouraging them. He says, God's working. God's working. God's working in our lives. God's working in my life. Just this week, God has done some things in my life that I'm just so thankful for. God's working in your life, and the Lord is working in your life. And the Lord is working in your kids' life. Even if they're teenagers. But he says, you've been with me through my temptations. You've been with me. And he says this, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, in the future, you will be with me in my kingdom, and you will have a place, and you will have a responsibility, and there is blessing to come. But you know what the point of verse number 28 down to verse number 30 is? There's an encouragement, and there's actually an exhortation. It's simply this. Just be faithful today. Just be faithful today. I woke up this morning, I was going through my notes, and I just prayed, and I said, Lord, I have one thing today. One thing today. Just one thing, Lord. Just to preach the Word of God. That's all there is today. Just preach the Word of God. Because you know what? The Lord wants us to focus on right now. Just right now. Not to get all caught up in tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. But just be faithful right now. Be faithful to the Lord right now. Right now. Right now. And as you go through the day, just be faithful to the Lord as you go through the day. And God says, I'll take care of the future. He says, I've got the future all taken care of. And he says, you'll be with me. And you'll have a place. But just be faithful right now. Faithful. You know, you look at Paul, you look at Peter, you look at John. And like Paul, they said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give unto me and all them that love his appearing. And the Lord says, just be faithful. Just be faithful. And so this morning, as we think of this passage of Scripture, as we look at this, you know, there's so much that we can get from this, but number one, be thankful. Be thankful for not only who the Lord Jesus Christ is, but be thankful for the way that the Lord Jesus Christ ministers to you. Amen? Be thankful for this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ isn't like you and me, but that we are to be like him. Amen? Number two, be teachable. Be teachable. Don't ever stop having a heart that's willing to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Be teachable. Don't think you've arrived. Don't think you've known it all. Don't think you're the one that's it. Be like a little child and say, Lord, I need to be taught more. I need to be taught more. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. And then trust him. Be faithful to him. Trust me. Be faithful to him. And let him teach you the mind that we're supposed to have. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but think soberly according to the grace of God that is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And love one another and serve one another. And then encourage one another. Help one another. Pray for one another. And God will continue to work in your life. He'll continue to work in my life. And he'll be glorified. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that your word has just ministered to our hearts and lives. Lord, we are your children. Lord, we are your children. Lord, we thank you that you love us, you care for us. Thank you that you are gentle to us and loving to us and kind to us. And Lord, even this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, thank you that you weren't just annoyed with his disciples, and you took time to lovingly teach them, care for their souls. And Lord, thank you that you care for us, and that as we grow in your grace and in your knowledge, Lord, that you care enough to take us aside unto yourself, to teach us how you would have us to be transformed through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God so that you would be glorified in our lives. Lord, may we be teachable. Lord, may we be thankful. May we be teachable. And may you continue to work, continue to change us into the very image of Christ. For thy glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen.